Blockbus.net Podcast Network. Be disappointed that there's no actual sacred deer that gets killed here. I mean, there's no, it's not title. Like waiting for it to come at night, though.
Yeah, there's no deer. I
mean, you're not gonna let that go, are you?
I will never let that go. I'm still
no
very upset.
Mystical Indian anything.
No, there is not. But you know, this is admittedly, this is a part of what I just heard described the first time as the Greek weird wave of filmmakers, which I think is the best name for thing ever, from Yorgos Lanthimos, who did The Lobster and he did Dogtooth. And having seen all three of these films now, I'm like, yeah, that term fits quite well.
Yeah.
And the title is completely referring to a myth. It's like a Greek myth. So it's like, oh. Well, I guess when you put that metaphor into the middle of the whole thing, it makes sense.
You know, he's Greek, and there it is.
That whole thing, like, oh, you killed this deer, and well, you weren't supposed to do that, and so now you have to make a terrible choice, a Sophie's choice of killing.
Yeah, Sophie's choice of the Greek mythology.
Yeah, killing someone
Greek
that you love.
Portions.
And this film, which seems to—it's the most grounded of any of his movies, I would say, in the sense that it feels like we're watching a slightly banal version of our world, because everyone kind of talks in the very straightforward,
normal, stylized.
Although everyone is like completely has no filters whatsoever either. Mm-hmm. They're just like,
so weird.
I'm sorry. Like one point this girl says, I just got my first period. Just tells a guy she just met that. And you're like, what?
And
no one acts like
party.
It's a weird thing.
My daughter just started her menses. Wait, what?
Yeah. Everybody talks like that, like as if this is just normal conversation. Yeah. But other than that, seems more or less like the real world,
they
right?
They Groundhog Day just like the rest of us.
Yeah. You know. They put their pants on one leg at a time, which means they have four legs. But the story follows around Colin Farrell, once again returning to work with this director after The Lobster, where he is a doctor who believes he's God. Well, he's a doctor, so I guess that was...
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's like our redundant world in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, not in a literal, I think I'm God, but in a, like, the way that
God
doctors do.
Surgeon.
Like, there's a bit where they're talking about, you know, one of the central themes here, which is the one time he really fucked up and he refuses to take any like responsibility for it. He's like, right. No, doctors, surgeons don't fuck up. Anesthesiologists fuck up. So that was clearly his fault. Whereas later we see the anesthesiologist says the exact same thing in reverse. Fucking doctors, man. So we see that he's friends with this kid, Martin, played by Barry Keoghan, who's the main guy from Dunkirk. And we're like, the biggest question at first act of this movie is, what in the fuck are they? Is he fucking this kid?
Right. I know.
No, I thought it was his love child from like some other like
affair.
Yeah,
I was thinking.
Yeah, it's weird because they're like, he's taking him out to dinners and he's like buying him expensive gifts.
Yeah, the gift was odd. I'm like, oh, it's got to be his son.
But he's also lying about him, going like, oh, he's my daughter's friend to people. And you're like, what is happening?
It's because how did I tell Nicole Kidman that I had this kid from somebody?
Well, especially when you're married to Nicole Kidman. You're like, you don't want to keep secrets from her.
Well, and considering like how everybody already talks in this very like formal kind of no boundaries manner of speaking, he takes that even farther. Like everybody's already acting kind of weird, talking kind of weird. This guy's fucked up from moment one. You can tell there's something wrong with this kid.
Yeah, like he's the weird one in this
exactly
movie.
In this already weird movie, he's the one who really stands out.
Yeah
For when everyone talks that way and he talks that way even more. But like the crux of the matter is that basically his dad is the one for the aforementioned died in the aforementioned screwed up surgery, and he doesn't act at all like there's anything that he's holding against
totally
him about
emotionless
this.
About
he's
it.
Just so
it's
everyone's
a matter of
emotional.
Fact about everything.
Yeah.
And he's very gracious about everything. You know, he's like, oh, thank you. That was very, very kind of you. And it's clear the reason that's why Colin Farrell's being nice to him. He feels, regardless of being willing to admit that he fucked up, he still feels bad. So that's the thing of this film, which is really kind of plotless up to the point where suddenly it's not, and the movie goes, oh, Yeah, you forgot that Yorgan Lanthimos was making this movie. Here's where we're going to drop that shoe, where that impossible in our world thing happens that changes the structure of the whole rest of the film.
Well, it's an absurd piece, no matter what way you look at it. It's just not maybe as blatantly absurd as The Lobster.
No, perhaps. Which is constantly like building a mythology of absurd. Yeah. Like it's world building. This isn't really world building.
Well, it does exist in its own on its own like wavelength, its own reality, but it does have. You know, it does have one foot on in the ground of our reality as well.
Yeah. It's like some really low-key Ionesco or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it really is that the myth of the title, you know, where he's asked to make this absolutely impossible choice in once again, not in our world, something that he has absolutely no control over. And strangely, doesn't question as much as you'd think you would.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of questioning going on.
No, like, there isn't.
But that's very normal.
People just like, make weird statements.
That's very normal for this guy's films, where it's like when something that's surreal is introduced, everyone's like, yeah, it's just how it is. It's just like, that's a thing.
It is a really great, like sort of offering into surrealist cinema, you know, and it plays by its own rules.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost more Dadaist really in that way, you know, it's that one element that twists everything that just makes everything wrong, you know, and not in a bad way, but, you know.
And I feel like this movie, it's a great example of, what they talk about a lot in screenwriting of, you know, however ridiculous your reality is, make sure you establish the parameters of that reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, in this case, very literally, when you do bring in, like, the thing that is supposed to be very out there and very weird, you've already done a good job of establishing how this world kind of operates. You're like, okay, this clearly isn't our world, but I'm going to kind of go with this, you know, because this kind of fits the world that they're creating.
I'm going to visit it for a while.
Exactly, I'll live in it. Yeah, I'll live in it, and I'll kind of go by the rules that they're setting up of how this works.
Yeah, no, it's all very matter of fact, the way he set it up, and it's just, this is the way it is. And
I think adding to it, though, is, you know, you notice that the music in this, the most jarring sort of musical notes for the most tranquil scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And when something shocking happens, it happens with, you know, without any music whatsoever.
Yeah. A very interesting blend of music. Yeah. Actually, they've got some classical, and I've heard a lot more classical music in films this past year than I have in years.
Well, that should make you happy. You love classical
music. I know.
Music.
It's always, but in this movie, it was like, oh, wait, this is weird that this music is being played right now.
Yeah. It all creates a sort of, like, icy, almost sterile environment, which, like, classical music has a way of, like, often, depending on the pieces, adding to that.
Yeah, and this is instrumental. I feel like it was a lot of piano.
Hey!
Piano in it, and I'm ignoring you. And
as well you should. You've learned.
Well, everything was sterile about it. The coloring, the entire coloring, the way they shot things, the angles of the shots.
The performances.
Everything
felt like very immaculate. It was almost like they never left the hospital.
Everything felt like you were looking at model homes.
Yes.
You know?
Everything has that very like narrow, almost like geometric design. A lot of like harsh angles.
There's one color for this.
One color,
That was it.
Yeah. And then, of course, the camera work, which is as typical from this guy, it was amazing. Yeah. But it sticks to the symmetry constantly. It's always got that, except for those moments.
That's a really cool hall shot.
When you're like,
whoa, that's amazing.
What's wrong? Something feels wrong. Yeah. Because the whole thing has been so goddamn symmetrical. When he goes asymmetrical, you know shit is about to go off.
Right.
One of my favorite shots is when Bob drops and you see him overhead from on the escalator going down from the hospital. I thought, oh.
So good.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Love that.
That was amazing. Yeah, I love that.
And there's so many things that you keep thinking this movie is going to go off the rails in things are about to get bad a lot faster than they actually do, because the weird relationship that this kid forms with his Colin Farrell's kids and like starts dating his daughter.
It's so
you're
creepy.
Waiting for that to turn into a totally different type of horror movie there.
Yeah, that's true. And it is not what you expect.
It's even weirder and more disturbing is the kids when they're starting to find out what's happening here, who should hate this kid, are like, no, we totally get what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, well, I guess you got to do this. We going through this.
Shit happens, man.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Well, and that was some of the things as far as like kind of the horror elements of the movie that unnerved me the most, where when things do continue to escalate, the fact that especially the kids just sort of watching their interactions and then being like, yeah, well, this is kind of a bum rap. I guess you're going to have to take the bullet on this one. And you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. Oh, the ending... was so disturbing for me.
It was the thing when he's finally, and this is really the story of a guy who like thinks of himself as God, and then meets the devil, basically.
Yeah.
Who goes, yeah, you're not as much God as you thought you did, because now you have to make an impossible fucking choice. And he's such a coward, ultimately, he can't even make the choice.
No, he can't.
Which reminds me of the thought experiment, that one with the where you're in a trolley and, like, you can go down the track where it's already going. If you do nothing, it's going to hit 5 construction workers and kill them. But if you change the track, it's going to hit one person that you kind of know and just kill that one person. So what do you do? And his inability to even make any choice there, and the way it plays out, I actually kind of...
He doesn't make a choice.
I actually kind of started laughing.
He makes a choice not to make a choice.
Well, it's because the lengths he goes to avoid making a choice are so absurd that I couldn't help but sort of laugh in horror watching it.
Even that absurdity is, like, accepted. Like, Nicole Kidman's like, okay, well, let me put on my black dress and I'll be right down.
Yeah.
I know. You're like, what?
Everybody seems to be, again, like no matter how ridiculous it gets, everybody just seems to be kind of okay with
it. They're all just going with it.
And it just kind of adds to this, like, really unnerving, unsettling feeling you get in the pit of your stomach.
Yeah.
It just grows.
I felt that the whole way.
And that's the pinnacle of that.
Yeah.
And the opening shot pretty much sets you up. Even if it gets you...
Not for the squeamish.
It unsettles you.
By the way, that was actual open heart surgery.
Yeah.
That was not an effect.
I think it was.
Yeah. So it opens with a shot of open heart surgery, which I figured it wasn't, because I'm real. You remember this? What a big pussy I was with the surgery channel? Because we'd be flipping through channels, and it would come on, and I would be like, no, turn it, turn it. You're like, dude, you watch, like, the fucking Evil Dead all the time in Italian horror.
That doesn't bother me at all. Yeah,
I'm like, I can't even look at the real
thing.
Makeup
effects.
This is real. I don't know. Surgery's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine, but whatever.
You're right. The whole thing is just subtly unsettling all the way through it, making this a strangely... I mean, people are going to argue
even
about it at length.
Sex life is...
Oh, yeah.
It's just like his God complex. There it is again. It's just reinforcing
his...
Yeah, he's like, I want you to literally pretend like you've been completely anesthetized.
Like you're dead,
and
I'm the
surgeon. That is their routine. That is their
routine. Yep, that's man.
People, outwardly normal people, from all reports, seem to like to have the kinkiest, weirdest sex. Yeah. You know, it's only the total weirdos are probably milquetoast.
You know, <It's> so
you know? Rob Zombie is like, I only do missionary positions.
Yeah. Yeah, not be surprising at all.
But yeah, let's go into final thoughts here. Laura, why don't you get us started?
So I had to think about whether or not I liked this movie. It took me a while. I don't know. When I left theater, I just really couldn't figure out what I thought about it. And that doesn't mean it's a bad film or a good film or anything. I just really had a hard time making a decision after this.
How ironic.
I know. But I decided...
You did a better job than Colin Farrell did.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, I came to a conclusion. I did actually like this film. I liked all the artistry that's put into it. I love the way he uses the craft. I thought the performances were really good. I don't know how they managed to pull this off so well, actually. I mean, these people are really good actors. The kid, Barry Keoghan, he does a great job. I mean, he stands out above everyone. You know, and part of that is how he's written in and the character is written in. He clearly is apart from the rest, but he is gripping on the screen. And I love the colors. I love the shots. And I'm going to give it 7 nosebleeds.
There you go.
Yeah.
Frank?
Yeah, I really agree with you, like, 100% about the acting. I think this material really, like, brings... I mean, listen, this director got, like, some good acting out of Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
I mean, which, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
Hey, she was great in Clueless. I will not hear you talk about it.
I couldn't stand Clueless. I could not
totally
stand
different.
Watching this, like, bratty Beverly Hills girl complain about her... I hate Clueless. Just like you hate Eli Roth, I hate Clueless.
Yeah, or Inherent Vice.
Oh, I love Inherent Vice. Damn, go to my grave loving that movie. But yeah, no, I mean, across the board, he is hands down phenomenal. And because he is the weirdest, and he also plays it the most normal out of everybody as much as he can in this reality. But what I love most about this film, why I think it's going to stay with me, and I'm still not sure whether how much I liked it. I didn't hate it.
Right.
I'm not sure how much I liked it. But what I really, you know, loved about it was that it's a very American film in a lot of ways, but has such a European flavor to it. And I love the way that those two met and made this weird fusion of a piece of, you know, cinematic art, which is what it is.
Yeah.
All the way through. And I mean, I can't stop thinking about it. I'm going to be recommending it to very specific people, but I know that they're going to love it and they're not going to forget it like me. So on that note, I got to give it 8 out of 10 open heart surgeries.
There you go.
Ian. Yeah, watching this movie, it actually reminded me a lot of watching Mother. You know, the Darren Aronofsky movie.
I love Mother.
Well, in the sense that, like
all right, Norman Bates.
Well, in the sense that, you know, they were both movies that when they were done, I wasn't really sure how to feel about them because they're very intense, very difficult experiences.
You can't write them off.
And yeah, and while, like, I had a lot of issues with Mother, just about the kind of delivery of its message, I thought it was a little too heavy-handed. The thing that I liked with this was, for as intense and as disturbing as this movie got, the whole thing kept this very, like, low-key, very chill demeanor, you know? It's like, if the movie itself had a heart rate, like, it never raised too high, like, and that, in a way, kind of made it a more intense, more unnerving experience, because you kind of almost want the movie to get crazier, because you're losing your mind. You're going, like, is no one else feeling this way?
Yeah.
Is no one else weirded out by this?
Somebody, please.
But yeah, everything you were talking about the performances, about kind of the really interesting culture clash that you see as far as the styles in this movie, the very weird Alicia Silverstone appearance, you know, all kind of works together in this very weird, very memorable, not even a movie, just an experience that I had, really. Mm. But yeah, with that, I'd give it probably 8.5 open heart surgeries out of 10.
Yeah, this movie kind of lives in that weird zone that you see in horror about a minute or two before the first killing happens. But that's like 90% of this movie feels like it's at that moment where the music starts creeping up in the background just a little bit, and everyone kind of looks like, something's out there. The whole movie kind of feels like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's this intensity to it, despite it, as you said, it's just glass, keeping this sort of love, even keel the whole way through. But I was half asleep when I went in to see this. I saw an early morning screening. I was like, fuck, I'm not in the mood to watch this movie. I'm not in the right state of mind. 2 minutes in, I was like, in 100%.
It requires you to be in immediately.
And I mean, it grabbed me. I was like, I couldn't believe how much it grabbed me.
Because you watched Open Heart Surgery for like 30 minutes.
That'll wake you up.
But I thought this movie was incredibly intense. Interesting note, the movie, when Barry Keoghan invites Colin Farrell over to his house to watch a movie, the movie they watch is Groundhog's Day, which is also about a normal world, normal person who one magical thing happens to and it changes his whole life. It's another magical realism horror.
And that was the only bit of color in the whole movie. Yeah. It was in that scene in their house and her outfit and her...
But it's just... It's so subtly absurd, this movie, instead of outwardly. There's little touches here and there that are like, well, that's fucking weird. Yeah. Like little things, like we said, about the way that people talk to each other so overtly just honest is like off-putting. It's not so far as to be surreal, but gives you the sensation of something is wrong here the whole way through. And what he created ultimately, I feel, is a horror film.
And he had kids. Like, he got those kids to do disturbing, like, amazing things.
Yeah. This dialogue is so well written. The acting is really good. The cinematography is just drop dead gorgeous. This is really, I think this is one of the best movies this year, personally. And I give it 9 out of 10 hearts that I didn't realize were real. And now I'm going to go throw up.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Club, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.